Good morning. Thank you, Donna. Did I push the right button there, Don? Am I good? Okay, good. Sometimes you got to press buttons and you forget which way they are and which way they go. So I just figured on this go round I would ask. So once again, good morning. Give somebody a wave that says, "Look, I'm glad you're here." I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, and all is right with the world. So it is so good to see each and every one of you. If you're part of our online audience, if you would, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is there listening and watching. As always, if you have any questions or concerns, Dr. John can fix you up. He can get you answers that you may need. And be sure to say hello to one another. Don't just sit there behind some sort of a screen and be anonymous. Say hey to somebody. We'll even let you talk during church that way. You know, I figure it like this. If they can do it here in person, you can do that online as well. So be sure to tell somebody a hearty hey. I also want to remind you that today, as you see the flowers that are down here on our communion table, they are in memory of Frances Young. It was 2 years ago that she went on to be with glory, and today we remember her. The family remembers her by placing the flowers here on our communion table. Gorgeous flowers for a gorgeous lady all the way around. We love and miss Miss Frances, but we're going to see her again very, very soon. I know that. So tell you what, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time of worship together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful, we're thankful that you give us this opportunity to come together, to be in your house. Lord, there are so many things that are pressing. I know each and every one of us have things we have to do, places we have to be. And Lord, I just pray that for these moments as we come together to worship you, that worship is truly what we do, that we don't just go through the motions as we have gathered together this morning, but Father, that our hearts would truly be tuned in to what it is that the Spirit has to say to us today. Lord, may we take your word and may we ponder it. May the Holy Spirit bring it to life in each and every one of us. And Lord, may we be drawn closer today because we have been in your house. Lord, as always, we pray that if there is one who does not know you, that you would convict their heart, and through that conviction that they would give their heart, their soul, their life to you this day, and to begin living a life that will be full for as long as we have left on this earth. And then, Lord, for all of eternity, we will spend that time around your throne, worshiping and praising you. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless our time. May it honor and glorify you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to 16. Oh, worship the King. Please stand as we sing.
Yes, Lord. In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into His presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Through His love, the Lord provided for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there in the presence of Jehovah, God Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Thank you.
Thank you, April. That was such a blessing. Please turn with me to hymn number 33. Excuse me, 3:13. Worthy of worship.
With me today. Again, thank you, April, for a wonderful job, as well as the choir and taking us before the throne of grace. And I tell you one thing about being in the presence of Jehovah is a pretty powerful place. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes you think about the times when you have been at places in your life and you didn't know whether you were going to make it. All of us have been there. Yeah, things were overwhelming. Just so many things were taking place. And Jehovah was there in the midst of each and every one of those. What a tribute to our Father today in the presence of Jehovah, which is exactly where we want to be. Today, I want us to think about something for just a minute, because I believe this is something that each and every one of us deal with. And often pride will not let us confess that to those that are around us. And when I say, when we get to the scripture text and when we talk about what the topic is today, most of us are going to be very, very familiar with it. Now, sometimes we will have that opportunity before people, and there are those in our lives that we will have that opportunity to share with and that can help us through those tough times. But most of the time, what we do is we get mad, and we get mad at ourselves. You know, have you ever had that situation? Has anybody ever told you that often you are your own worst enemy? Anybody ever said that to you? Okay. Yeah, you know, and you know, when you sit back and think about it, or you take a step back from the situation and look at it, you can see and know and understand exactly, you know, what they're talking about. But today I want us to look in the scripture, and I want us to understand why we do the things that we shouldn't do and do the things that we should do. Now, are you picking up what I'm putting down? Look with me, if you would, at our scripture text for today, which is Romans chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading at verse 15. Now, it's going to sound like a little tongue twister as I read it in the New King James, but we're going to talk about it, and you're going to understand it here in just a moment. Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If, then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Did I say that was a tongue twister? Bear with me. Let's pray together. Father, you're good. Your word is good. It does not return void. Today we pray, Father, that it would permeate our hearts in such a fashion that we would truly hear from the Spirit. And Lord, that we might be drawn close to you, that we might be given tools that you would have each and every one of us to go by, which basically, Father, is simply your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless the time we spend around your word. Bless your speaker, that the words that are heard today are simply from you. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to give you a little bit of clarity on the tongue twister. Let me give this to you in a different way. I want to give this to you in the ESV translation. That verse 15 says, reads like this, and it'll probably make a lot more sense to you. It says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." Now, we've all been there. We've all had those circumstances. We have all had those situations in our lives where we sit back and we get a little frustrated with ourselves. How many times in our Christian walk have we sat back and said, "You know what? I know that's wrong. The Holy Spirit convicted me. I need to do better." Y'all ever said that? Now, that's good. But here's what you also need to understand, that in and of yourself, you can't do better. It's not about you doing better. It is about the Christ which resides within you being able to have or to take control. You know, sometimes you get frustrated because you set out and you start off and you're like, "I'm not going to do that anymore. I know that sin. I have confessed that sin. I've got a clean slate. I have been forgiven." And then you just find yourself repeatedly back in that same spot. And that's where the frustration factor comes in, doesn't it? Now, sometimes you can go to somebody that you know, love, or trust that's spiritual and say, "Look, man, I need some help. I'm struggling in this area." But most of us won't do that because we're embarrassed about that. We don't want anybody else to know that we have a struggle with something, because obviously we would never want that used against us along the way. Let me continue with the scripture and what it says in the ESV. Now, verse 16 says, "Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right. Did you get that? As a believer, we have the desire to do what is right. The Spirit wants us to do what is right. We want to do the right thing. Middle of verse 18, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Now, most of us can understand that, don't we? Yeah. How many times have we said, I have the desire, I just don't have the ability. Yeah, this is what I want to do, I just don't have the ability within me by which to be able to pull it off. Okay, verse 19. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. Now, some people would sit back and say, well, that's just offering an excuse for what is taking place. Well, we got to get down to the brass tacks and the root of what is taking place. So, yeah, how do we get out of this particular cycle? You know, I actually put a thesis statement is the best way to say that when it comes down to this particular text. And today we want to examine why this cycle occurs and how it is that we can break free from its hold in our lives. How do we get into that endless loop of, you know, I've done wrong, I'm sorry, I ask forgiveness, I don't ever want to do that again, and then you find yourself in that same place, even to the point of frustration? Well, first of all, you have to understand what the problem is. And the problem is our sinful nature. See, our sinful nature inclines us toward disobedience and away from righteousness. Most of us, even if you've watched cartoons in your life, you've seen the little angel and the little devil upon the character's shoulder, right? Yeah, and the little angel is always the one saying, do the right thing, do the right thing. And the little devil's sitting back going, everybody else is doing it. You should be able to enjoy as well. And there's that battle that goes on. Now, that's an important thought. Yeah, that is actually a biblical concept. So I want you to hold on to that for just a minute. We're going to come back to that as we get down to the end of our message today. But the bottom line, folks, is that we all struggle with sin. According to the book of Romans chapter 3, it says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That doesn't exclude anybody. You know, that doesn't exclude you, me, or anybody else on this planet. We have all sinned. Our flesh is weak. Plain and simple, the flesh is weak. And our heart is deceitful. I always like how people always sit back and say, follow your heart. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, from a biblical perspective, the Word of God says that your heart is wicked and deceitful. So why would you want to follow that wicked, deceitful thing? Okay? Now, I know some people would say, well, you know what I'm talking about. No, I don't. Not given today's society. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, if you're a spiritual person, maybe you were pointing out the Holy Spirit's guidance in your life, which I hope you are. But folks, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not your heart. The Holy Spirit can speak to your heart. There's a difference between those two. You understand what I'm saying? Huge difference between the two. Sin is not just a behavior, but it is a condition of the heart. Where is your heart? Now, we probably throughout our time of being a spiritual being, somewhere along the way in life, maybe you've heard a pastor or somebody talk about the simple example of the two natures. And again, we're going to get into that in just a moment. You know, every one of us is born with the sin nature. We inherited that from the fall of Adam. You don't have to do anything to go to hell except be born. That's it. That's all you got to do. You are born with that sin nature. But if you are going to find your way to heaven, then what's going to happen is you are going to have the Holy Spirit. You are going to have to trust Jesus Christ. You are going to have to give your life over to Him. The Holy Spirit will be your guide. But here's the thing. That doesn't mean that the old nature goes away. I mean, how many times, you know, so often people will come to trust Christ and they think that it's like flipping a switch. And that all their thoughts are from now on going to be pure. All their language from now on is going to be pure. Everything that they do is going to be 100% teetotal spiritual being. And although that would be a nice concept, it is only a concept, because spiritual growth is a process. Spiritual growth is something that takes effort on our part. Listen, it's not about simply having your foot in the door of heaven. It is about having that relationship with Jesus Christ. It is about coming to know Him. It is about knowing Him and loving Him to the point that you want to and desire to do His will. Now, here's the thing. Some of us have gotten to that point in our lives. Some of us have gotten to that place. And yet what happens is we still fail horribly, don't we? Now, understand, I'm not here to beat you up, but I'm here to tell you about what the truth of the matter is. That's what frustrates us. When we're just like, you know, the writer of this passage, he said, I want to do the good and the right things, but I don't, and I don't want to do the bad things, but I do. That's where the tongue twister part kind of comes in. And there is that sense of frustration that comes along with it. But remember, sin's not just a behavior, it is a condition of the heart. We don't like to look at it that way, do we? When we sit back and we don't want to forgive a neighbor, that's a condition of the heart. When we don't want to be with others in worship, that is a condition of the heart. You know, when we go out and willfully sin, that is a condition of the heart. You see, we inherited that sin nature from Adam, and it is sin that separates us from God. And that's exactly what Satan wants, okay? So how do we apply this, what we know? We have to acknowledge the reality of our sinful nature, and we have got to turn to God for forgiveness and transformation. That is a big word, transformation. You know, it's so often we do a really good job in what I'm going to call modern-day church, of being evangelical. And when I say being evangelical, I mean we tell people that you know, hell's hot, heaven's been paid for, and Jesus paid it all, and you need to receive Him. And you know what? People hear that message. The Holy Spirit uses that message, and people give their life to Jesus. But what about the part about following Him? What about the part in growing in His grace? You've heard me say 1,000 times, salvation's not about checking a box. It's about that relationship. It's about walking with Him. It's about learning to crawl like a child. A child learns how to crawl, and then all of a sudden you see them standing up, and they're holding on to the coffee table, and they're all wobbly. And then you see them start to walk, and they look like a little old drunk man, but they're on their feet. And what do? We grab the cameras and the iPhones, and we take pictures, and we let everybody know that Junior is walking. Why don't we do that spiritually? You know what happens? Because a lot of times, Junior ain't walking. Now, if Junior was 12 years old and never crawled and never walked, would you consider it to be a problem as Junior's mama or daddy? Sure you would. Why do we not see it as a problem when the spiritual growth is not there? When we don't walk with Christ in the manner in which we should. Oh, we're busy trying to get people into heaven. I don't want to just get you into heaven. I want to get you up there where you're walking with Him and where you're talking with Him. And when you are in the presence of Jehovah, it makes a difference. That when all of a sudden you get ready to wave at somebody going down the street minus 4 digits, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is already in your heart. And the Spirit's going, come on now. Or when you're sitting back and you're mad and you're going on the tirade with God, which we do, about how somebody has offended you or somebody has done something to you, and you're trying to justify your anger, and the Holy Spirit's going, come on, man, you know that's not how this works. Now, I know that wasn't a verbatim quote, but that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did. That's not how this works. You don't have a right to hold aught or anger against your brother. Did you hear that? According to the Word of God, you don't have a right to hold aught against your brother. But you don't understand what they've done. I don't care what they've done. Well, if you knew what they did, you would see differently. No, I don't agree with that, because the Bible doesn't pair it out and say, forgive your brother except for, or you need to be kind and gracious. And by the way, last time I checked, the word says that we're supposed to what to our enemies? Forgive and what else? Love and what else? Oh, here's the hard one. See, we like to dance around it. Pray for our enemies. I ain't praying for my enemy. They're my enemy. I'm not gonna pray for somebody who I can't stand. No, okay, I'll pray for them. I'm gonna pray like David prayed. Lord, I want you to send my enemies alive to hell. Don't even kill them, send them alive. That's the kind of praying we wanna do for our enemies, but that's not the kind of praying God wants us to do for our enemies. And yet we feel like we've got this right to hold aught against people. We feel like we have this right to be upset with our brothers and sisters and upset with everybody else. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing, and I've said this a bunch of times, but since the pandemic, we are the most ill-tempered or ill-mannered, short-tempered people on the face of this planet. We get mad in a heartbeat. It's bad when the society actually has memes and cartoons up that says, worship's over, now let me go be a jerk to some waitress at a restaurant. You know what's sad about it? It's true. It's widespread. Word says, you will know we are Christians by our love. Is that love? So see, the problem is our sinful nature. That's where it comes from. And remember the time before I heard this, you know, in seminary, and it made sense. It was a little bit of a goofy illustration, but I still remember it today, and it makes all the sense in the world. It says you are born with that old sinful nature. Now, the thing about it is, when you trust Christ, you get the new spiritual nature. The old sinful nature doesn't go away. But it was like the old illustration that if you had two little puppies and you took one out and you tied it up to a tree and you never fed it except very meagerly and sparsely, and yet the other puppy you took care of and you loved on, and he was in the house and he ate all the good food like you eat and got all the loving in the world, which one of those two puppies, number one, would you think would be the strongest? Obviously the one that is better nourished. Which one do you think would have the better disposition? Obviously the one that you are caring for and the one that you are nurturing. And folks, let me tell you something today. You are nurturing one of those two natures, either the new nature or the old nature. And whichever one you are nurturing becomes the strongest. If you are catering to that old sinful nature that says, yeah, you just need to be mad at these people and you need to be short-tempered and you need to hate these people and you need to do all these things, then that is what you become. But yet, if you cater to the spiritual nature, guess what you become? April laid it out. You get in the presence of Jehovah. And when you are in the presence of Jehovah, things are different. When you go up to Jesus and say, well, I have a right to be mad at him, all basically Jesus does is goes, seems like I wrote about that in a book. Seems like I said you don't have the right to be angry. And by the way, one of the things that we have to understand and realize, particularly when it comes to unforgiveness, is that if you don't like that situation and you are an unforgiving person, you have attached yourself to that person's sin. You've attached yourself. You're like, I don't want to be attached to them. Well, guess what? You did. You need to give it to the Lord. So the problem is our sin nature. But there's power in our choices. See, our actions are a result of our choices. I guarantee you that everybody in here, if we sat down, had an opportunity to have a conversation, and I said, hey, have you ever made any poor choices? Y'all be going, yeah. Which day of the week would you like? I got a whole dossier. I've made some bad choices. Yeah, it's interesting that God gives us free will to choose. He doesn't force his way into anybody's heart or life contrary to some theological teachings. We don't believe that God created people to go to hell. He created everyone with a chance and an opportunity to receive Him. But it's your choice. Which choice have you made? Are you going to follow Him? Is your choice going to be to follow our Savior? Now, He gives us a free will, and our choices, here's what we don't often understand, and particularly our younger generation today, our choices have consequences. There are consequences. I don't know if I can preach that hard and loud enough. Now, I'm not trying to get political by any stretch of the imagination, but if you take out a loan, it's called a loan for a reason. You sign papers for a reason, because you are promising that you are going to pay it back because it's a loan. Don't get mad when it comes time to make your payments. You chose that. Again, I'm not getting political, but that just seems to be the mindset for today. We have to look at the fact that our choices have consequences. If we choose, you know, to be promiscuous, there are going to be consequences for that. If you choose to walk down the sinful road, and people go, well, I didn't know I was walking down a sinful road, then you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, because I will promise you that the Holy Spirit is yelling very loudly in your life, don't do that. It's not that we don't hear the Holy Spirit. It is that we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Y'all have heard me use this passage before. Remember when I said pay attention to the tension? Remember that? Pay attention to the tension. When there is tension in your life, pay attention to it. I said before, as a police officer, there are often times that saved me from being in a really bad situation. And people say, well, it's that sixth sense. I said, call it what you want to call it. I call it the Holy Spirit. And they said, you better not go in there right now. You better get some help, because this is not going to go the way you think it's going to go. And every single time when I paid attention to the tension, it was a good thing I did. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Listen, have we gotten to the point where we're so far away from the Spirit that we can't even hear the Holy Spirit speak in our lives? And yet we sit back and say, Lord, why is it that I do the things that I shouldn't and I don't do the things that I should? He says, when's the last time you and I spent some time hanging out together? When's the last time when I spoke to you, you listened to me? Because every single time I said don't. Sometimes I liken it to Willy Wonka. I think everybody in here has seen Willy Wonka. I'm not talking about that new Johnny Depp one. I'm talking about the old one with Gene Wilder in it, the good one, right? Y'all have seen that before. Did you ever notice old Willy Wonka? And you've heard me say this before, but the times when all the kids were making bad choices in the chocolate factory, and Willy Wonka would be sitting back going, hey, look, don't do that. Don't touch that, or stay away from that, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it just got to the point where he was sitting there going, no, don't stop. Because he knew they were going to do what they wanted to do anyway. It's not that God doesn't continue to tell you, but are you listening? Are we a bunch of hard-headed, knuckle-headed Christian people that we don't listen? Are our ears full of mud when it comes down to the Holy Spirit? Our choices that we make have consequences. But guess what else our choices do? Our choices also reveal our true desires. Lord, this is what I want to do, and I don't care what you say. Lord, this is the way I want to go. This is what I want to spend. And you know what? So what? I'll mess up. You'll forgive me. I'm going to preach about that next week, by the way. That is taking advantage of the grace of God. And He'll only let you do it so often. Because the same Jesus that will wrap His arms around you and love you is the same one that will apply the Board of Education to the seat of your learning. But our choices reveal our true desires. You see, the choices that we make reflect the condition of our heart. You can't be in the presence of Jehovah at the same time be in the presence of evil. Now, some of y'all are going, oh, yes, I can. I can do this, or I can do it. No. One of those is getting your attention. One of those is getting your desire. One of those is leading who you are. You know, in today's society, what they call that is a biblical worldview. In other words, my life operates based on the belief in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that I follow his commandments. Does that make us perfect? No, it does not. But what is your biblical worldview? When people look at how you live your life, do they see Jesus in you? Do they see somebody that's a Christian? Yeah, you're going to mess up. There are going to be times that people are going to go, well, I wouldn't expect a Christian to do that. And they'd be absolutely right. But the choices that we make reflect those conditions. And our desire can be distorted by sin. What we want often gets out in the lead. And our choices can lead to a downward spiral. Some of you can think back to a time in your life when you know you were in that downward spiral spiritually. Some of you know when you had hit the ground spiritually. And some of you have wondered whether you could ever soar to great heights ever again. Well, the answer to that question is yes, even if you are on the ground at this point. So what is the solution? I love the fact that the Bible never left us with questions, but it always left us with a solution as well. So what is the solution to this issue? The solution is faith in Christ. Through Christ and his sacrifices, you know, we're set free from sin and we are empowered to live righteously. God has given us the power to be able to do that. The question is, do we exercise it? Remember when I was talking before about the little angel and the little demon? You know you shouldn't do that. Oh, go ahead. Who cares? Yeah. Oh, you know that that's not right. Ain't nobody looking. I'm looking. Yeah, you've been there back and forth. It's back and forth. The temptation that comes away. So which one are you going to choose? You see, Jesus broke the power of sin. And you and I, through Christ, are made new in him. Remember we were talking before, remember what I said before about the new man and the old man? The old man is the sinful one, born with the sin nature. The new man is the new spiritual side. And both of those coexist at the same time. Which means you have to choose one or the other. You are going to tend to one or the other. You are going to feed one or the other. You are going to spend time with one or the other. You can't spend time with both of them at the same time. And whichever one you tend to the greatest will be the one that will be strongest. If you tend to the spiritual side, then your spiritual side will be stronger. If you tend to the sinful side will be stronger. That's pretty easy math, even for a guy that's not good in math. But you see, the Holy Spirit guides and helps us to overcome that sin. The Holy Spirit, don't do that. That's not a good place to be. I wouldn't do that. And then we always go and do it. Then we get mad at ourselves and we come back. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting our heart of our wrongdoing. And we sit back and go, I knew I shouldn't have done that. You ever been there? Come on. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Why did I listen to that old devil? And he's over there going, and it's hurt the spirit. The spirit has tears in his eyes. Because you chose poorly. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't accept you through forgiveness, but how many times are you going to let the devil win in your life before you can sit back and say, I used to say that I would do the things that I didn't want to do and I didn't do the things that I should do, but today, because of my walk with the Father, because I talk with him, because I spend time with him, because I heed the Spirit's guidance in my life, I don't do it as much. Yeah, I might fail every once in a while, but I don't fail on a daily basis in whatever area that may be. You know why? Because you are in the presence of Jehovah and he is telling you, and you're hearing his voice loudly and clearly. You ever had somebody, you're getting ready to do something, you had somebody look at you and say, I don't think I'd do that. I don't think that's a good idea. Now, you could probably remember listening to them, and you can probably remember not listening to them. right? When you listened, things came out okay. Let me give you an example. Junior, I don't think I'd stick that butter knife in that electrical outlet. That's not a good idea. And you might have thought, yep, I've heard Dad talk about ready kilowatt before. I think I'll stay away from that. And then here, this is generally the way it goes. You're curious. So then one day when Dad's not around, you got a butter knife in your hand and the outlet's there, and you go over there, and you can still hear Dad in your mind going, I don't think I'd do that. And then you get shocked across the room. Got a severe electrical burn. Now you got to explain to Mama why the stainless steel knife's got a big black spot on it. And why your hand does look like it got black powder all over it and the skin's burned and everything else. And you certainly don't want to say, well, Mom, I stuck the knife in the electrical outlet. Yeah, and some of you have done that before. Some of you have had to make that explanation. And some of you's dad said, yeah, I told you. You won't do that again, will you? That hurts. The Holy Spirit guides us and helps us. Our salvation and sanctification are made possible through faith in Christ. Now, let me talk about that word sanctification for a minute. Sanctification means set aside. So I said our salvation and sanctification are made possible through faith in Christ. We are set aside. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. We're not supposed to do things like the rest of the world. There have been songs written that talk about we're strangers and we're aliens in this land because as believers, this is not our world. We're just passing through. And yet, God has sanctified us. He has set us aside. That is through faith in Him. He said, I don't want you to look like the world. If you do what you're supposed to do and you live like you're supposed to live, the world will know that you're one of my children. You can't hide it. It will show. You will produce the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what people will see in you. That ain't exactly what you could call fruit of today's society, is it? When you look around. You see, the sin nature is not replaced when you trust Christ, but yet the new nature is there as well. And you have to make the decision on which one you are going to give time and opportunity to. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers us to resist temptation and to live righteously. See, in our little example of the little angel and the little devil, the Holy Spirit is the little angel saying, don't do that. You know that's not right. Yeah, and some of you are going, well, I'm a new Christian and I'm not a Bible scholar and I'm just barely along the way. The Holy Spirit will still tell you whether you're a new Christian. When the Holy Spirit says, I don't think I'd do that, you might not understand why at this point, but you'd be good to listen. It's like, you know what? I don't know why this is wrong, but the Holy Spirit said that it's wrong. So I think I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to let that one just go on by. And then oftentimes with spiritual growth along the way, you learn the reason why. You're like, oh, one day you're reading your Bible and you're like, oh, the light just came on. But the Spirit told me before I even knew. Listen to the Spirit, especially when you don't know. Because He does, and He will lead you, and He will guide you. So you have to place your trust in Christ, and you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to overcome the cycle of sin and disobedience to the Father. That's how it's done. That's how you answer the question, how can I do the things that I should and not do the things that I shouldn't? See, our struggle with sin is rooted in our sinful nature and in our choices and in our desires. But by understanding the problem and by embracing the solution through faith in Christ, you and I can break free from that cycle of disobedience. But you got to stick with it. It doesn't just happen overnight. You're going to fail. Get up again. You're going to fall. Keep moving forward. And we need to continually surrender our sinful desire, our sinful nature, and our sinful choices to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in living a life that is pleasing to God. You see, that's where we get that thing. You've heard people say before when you're like, well, should I take this new job? Well, pray about it and the Holy Spirit will tell you. And you don't like to hear that. You want somebody to give you a good solid yes or no or give their reasoning behind it. And really, it's oftentimes you want somebody to affirm what you've already decided. See, that's why preachers have to be a little bit careful, because sometimes people looking for counseling aren't looking for counseling. They're looking for somebody to affirm their position. And sometimes they get mad at you when you don't. It's like, nope, let's sit back and let's look at this. Let's look at it from the biblical standpoint. It's all right for me to hate that guy, ain't it, preacher? No. Well, you just, let me tell you what he did, and then they tell me. Now, it's all right for me to hate that guy, isn't it? No. Oh, well, you just don't understand. You're just old-fashioned. If it was you, you'd hate him. No, I didn't say it would be easy to love them, but I've been in some pretty tough positions to have to love some people that were pretty unlovable. Not y'all. And some of you have been there too. And some of you, it's just difficult to do. The question is, are you going to surrender all those things to Christ? What? Are we going to surrender that sinful nature? Let him control that? Are we going to let him control our desires? Desires get us in trouble, don't they? Are we going to allow him to control our choices? And people sit back and say, well, should I take this? I can still remember at a time in my life, a very important decision. And I went to one of my mentors and I said, man, I'm struggling with this. I need your advice. He said, you've got to pray about it. He said, been doing that. I said, I'm on a time frame here. He said, God knows what time it is. I'm like, you're not helping me. I'm like, I came to you, Silver Fox, because you have all of the wisdom. I need to know the answer to my question. Tell me the answer to my question. He said, the Lord will let you know in his time. And I was like, oh, come on. By the way, listen, sometimes God will answer at the stroke of midnight, which is exactly what he did. I was getting literally, I had a literal time frame that I had to make a decision. And I knew that when the clock struck this one particular point, either A was going to happen or B was going to happen. I was either going to choose this way or I was going to choose this way. And I needed to choose at 12 o'clock noon. Lord, I was hearing the crickets chirping. And I'll even go further with it. It was when the Lord called me to this church. That midnight hour was whether or not the Lord wanted me to be here. And I was going to have to do one of two things at my previous church. At 12 o'clock noon that particular day, I was either going to be resigning or I was going to be continuing on as their pastor. The invitation began to play. Lord, hello? Nothing. The invitation ended. And I'm like, Lord, last note of the organ stopped. And that was when the Lord said, now you can go. And at that point, I mean literally seconds before the decision had to be made, the Lord said, now you can go. Why did he do that? I don't know. Was it to test my faith? I don't know, but it did. Was it to see if I was going to listen and be obedient? Yeah. Maybe it was just the fact that God wanted me, their heart and soul, up to that particular point. He didn't want anything divided. Be what I called you to be right where you are. I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know that when the time came and the clock struck 12, he spoke. And he'll do that for you too. Now, I don't worry about time much anymore. It's kind of like, all right, Lord, something got to give. But I realize you still have 13 minutes. No, I'm not resigning. But that's the way it is. God is going to show up. He is going to put divine appointments in your way. You got to look for them. This past week, I had to do a run for the Baptist men, and I was somewhere on 74. Let's just say that way. And I stopped for lunch, and I had a divine appointment. There was a lady named Vicky there. Vicky hadn't eaten in a couple of days, had just gotten out of the hospital, and Vicky needed some help. And she said, I'm just hungry. I said, well, I'll tell you what, Vicky. I said, I will buy you lunch under one condition. And she said, what? And I said, that you have to eat lunch with me. And she said, okay. So I said, get what you want. I mean, she didn't order exorbitantly or extravagantly. Oh, like four of these, two of them. No, she could have. She ordered a double cheeseburger from Burger King and some French fries. She wanted onion rings, but they didn't have them. I wanted onion rings too. That's how I know they didn't have them. But I got to sit down and I got to talk to her about her story. Tell me your story. She trusted Jesus. She said, I have been praying for days that the Lord would help me. Because I'm just hungry. For 2 days, I haven't had anything. I said, well, you know what? I said, Vicky, God answered your prayer today. And I said, let me tell you how much he cares about you. He cares so much about you that he sent me from Greensboro, North Carolina, to Red Springs, got me caught in a monsoon of a downpour. So I didn't get lunch at 12 o'clock. This was like 1:30. And I said, and he brought me to a Burger King in particular because Vicky needed lunch. That's how much God loves you. She said, you know, I know. She said, I know you're an angel. I said, don't go that far. I said, I ain't no angel. I said, but I'm one of his workers. Let's just put it that way. She didn't have any clue who I was. She didn't know. She couldn't see the truck that was parked up in the parking lot next door. She didn't know I had anything to do with a religious organization or anything else. It was just the guy she saw that the Lord and the Spirit led her to. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit doesn't have plans for your life. Don't tell me that something simple. But we got to open our eyes. We got to look around us. There are opportunities every single day. What did it cost me? A lunch at Burger King to spend some time with Vicky. Found out all about her family, what all was going on with her. And when I left, I said, you know what? I said, I got to get on down the road, Vicky. I said, I got a place I got to be. I said, but you know what? I'm going to be thanking God today that we had a chance to meet. And I want to thank God today that I didn't miss the blessing he put in front of me. And I'm going to thank God today that he answered your prayer and allowed me to be part of it. I just want to find out where the Lord's working and be a part of what he's doing. How about you? That's so cool. You never know the difference that you will make in the lives of people. You know, for me, it hasn't always been the big things. As a matter of fact, most of the things that have meant so much haven't been big things. They've been little things. The candy man at church, still talking about him. He's with the Lord now, but man, he was impressionable upon so many people, not because of the candy, but because of who he was. The candy was the tool. The lunch was the tool. You get it? Listen to what the Spirit has to say to us, and then we'll find ourselves being exactly where God wants us to be, when he wants us to be there, taking care of us and doing the things that we should be doing. and not doing the things we should not be doing. Because I will make you this promise. When you do the things that you are supposed to be doing and the Lord blesses, you want to do it more. When you get on a mission, you want to do more missions. You know, when you share the love of Christ with people and you see fruit from that, you want to share the love of Christ more. Are we about the Father's business? Are we doing what He wants us to do? Brad, y'all come on up. We're going to have our time of invitation. And yeah, all this is so pertinent because of the fact that we love Christ and because we've given our life to Him. Now, the question is, what are you doing? If you're a non-believer, you can't have as the Bible calls it, a form of religion and expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have Christ and you're not a believer, I don't know what's talking to you, but I would question it. Because the Holy Spirit is going to beckon you to salvation with Christ. Then, once He is welcomed in, then He will begin to teach you. Then He will begin to lead you. So have you planted with a surety the seed of salvation in your life? By trusting the Lord. By saying, Lord, look, I give up. I surrender. I'm done. Just a minute, we're going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. That's exactly what we're talking about. Have you said that to the Lord? Have you prayed and said, God, I am a sinner. I realize I was born with that sin nature, but Father, I want to give my life to You. It's all Yours. Fill me with Your Spirit and lead me and guide me and help me to live for You. Listen, if you've done that, great, we're going to celebrate. If you haven't, today's your day. That's all you have to do. Just cry out to the Lord. He hears your prayer. He'll understand that prayer. He'll save you. But then it's about getting on with following Him. Not just being mediocre. Not just being the 40-year-old baby in the nursery that has never walked. Listen, serving the Lord is one of the coolest things you will ever, ever do. It can be scary. But you'll never regret it. Maybe you're here today and you have been fighting that battle. Lord, why am I doing the things I shouldn't and not doing the things I should? There's your answer. That's what you need to do. Desire. Listen, are you spending enough time with Him that He is being an influence in your thought process and your desires and your decisions? Because they do have consequences. Maybe you need to get it right with Him today and say, Lord, I can't do it anymore, but I know You can. Help me, Father. Whatever you need to do, listen, the altar's here, I'm here. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn as Brad comes to lead us? Take my life and let it be consecrated. Number 277. Close. Listen, don't let the message that the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart, whether you're a believer or not, He has given you something from His Word today. What will you do with it? Make sure that you don't let this moment pass from you. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, You provide like no other. We thank You so much for the provision that You have allowed each and every one of us. And Lord, how You've made ways even in the tough times. So Lord, right now I pray that You will help us as we worship You by giving back the tithe and the offering, that it might not only honor Your kingdom, but Lord, we might be blessed by it for being faithful and obedient to do what You've asked us to do. So bless this offering, its gift and giver, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm going to try to hit this hard and get y'all on out of here, so I may sound like an auctioneer if I do. I'm sorry. Catch what you can. At any rate, we do want to mention our birthdays this week. Annette Vernon has a birthday that is Wednesday, right? This coming Wednesday, our own Annette will be having another turn around the sun. And then as far as anniversaries go, Lindsay and Chris Harrell will be celebrating their anniversary the 7th of this month, which is also Wednesday. So that'll be their anniversary. If you get a chance, be sure to let them know how much you love them. Put your arms around them. As a rule, we're kind of, you know, getting ready to start coming out of what I call the summer hiatus on some things. So the D-Life discipleship groups, those will be starting back up after Labor Day. I will be in touch with you. Steve will be in touch with you. Mari will be in touch with you as far as your group leaders there for when we will be starting back up. Also, just want to remind folks that we will have Bible study with Pastor David here tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. in Classroom 5, second classroom on the left as you go down the hall. If you hear voices, you're heading in the right direction. So 6 o'clock p.m. tonight. As far as choir practice and band practice, they're going to be coming out of the hiatus period. The choir will actually start back with their practicing on the 18th. Of August, and then the band will start back on the 15th with their practicing. So got a little bit of a rest for the summer. I know a lot of the choir has really enjoyed having that time, so now we're going to put you back to work. Christmas is coming. I know you are sitting there going, it's hot, and you're talking about Christmas. All right, don't forget on Wednesdays, guys have the Men's Breakfast Fellowship at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax every Wednesday. There's no agenda. Just come, build relationships, and enjoy one another's company. Then there's the every other Tuesday Bible study at Roger and Don Rees. The next one, I believe, is scheduled for the 13th, unless anything goes wrong, because I know sometimes, you know, folks, we've had kind of another pass of COVID through. But if anything changes, we'll let you know. If you're interested in that, you can talk to Paul Johansson or Pastor David. They can give you more information on it. But that's from 12 to 1 o'clock p.m. At Roger and Don Rees house. Saturday the 10th will be a prayer walk on the track. Is that open to all, or is that your group? Okay. Good deal. Yeah, anybody can come, but the ladies are doing that this coming Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. You're going to do a prayer walk around the track over there. So we'll have you in air conditioning and out of thunderstorms or anything else that may be happening. So come be a part of that. Then there's the ladies' breakfast that's going to be at 9 o'clock a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue. And that is on the 14th. Which is a Thursday, the 14th on a Thursday. Ladies Connections, that is going to, their monthly meeting is going to be on the 7th at 6 o'clock p.m. in room 116, which is our conference room right across from the kitchen, if you're not sure where that is. Just as to let you know, the Revolution Upper School will be starting on the 14th. Of this month. We also, Awaken and Central are actually going to be doing a luncheon for the teachers on, this coming Thursday, whatever that is. We'll actually be doing a luncheon for them just as a way to welcome them and let them know that we're available on spiritual matters and otherwise along the way. And by the way, they also mentioned too that they could use some substitute teachers. So if you're interested in substitute teaching with the upper school, you can go on the Revolution Academy website. You can click on there where it says substitute teacher application, and you can fill all that out. They said they'd love to have anybody possible that they could. Also, the Criders are inviting everyone to attend the wedding of their daughter Amy Crider to Christian Kahn, which is on October the 4th. It will be in Martinsville. There's some information on that in the Narthex. There is RSVP that was needed by the 1st, so you're late on that. But anyway, if you see Jim today, it's still possible. That's Jim. Wave, Jim. So in case you don't know, that's Amy's daddy right there. That's Jim. He can still get you squared away. So we're looking forward to being a part of their the beginning of their life together as husband and wife. So Nominating team, just to let you know, nominating team has placed the non-rotational team list in the narthex. And I think you're over here in the sanctuary. If you wish to be removed from or added to a team, please let a member or the chairperson of nominating know of your wishes. So that, because we have some non-rotating teams. If you need to come off of one, or if you would like to come on to one, take a look at that and just speak with somebody nominating, and they can get you squared away. Also, on October the 6th, we are going to be hosting for the Piedmont Association what they call a D-Life Conference. We will have a combined service with Awaken that day because that Sunday morning, the author of D-Life, which is the discipleship material we use, Bill Wilkes, and his wife, Rondi, will be with us. Bill will be speaking on that Sunday morning, and then the boot camp is actually going to be that evening. I don't think that cost is $15, but that includes a meal, that includes materials, that includes everything. I think it might be more like $10, but we'll let you know. We will be doing registrations for that, and I'll let you know a little bit more about that, but we're hosting that essentially associational-wide on the 6th of October. August the 11th, Awaken is actually doing a presentation of Jesus in Your Living Room from 5 to 8. You are more than welcome to attend that if you would like to. Then September the 8th at 1 o'clock p.m. is going to be our picnic, our church picnic at Triad Park. Is there going to be a sign-up sheet forthcoming for that? Or? Gotcha. Just to mark your calendar for September the 8th, that's when we're actually going to be having our church picnic. And then on September the 15th, Awana will make its return from 5:30 to 7. We need kids. We need helpers. You can see Jana or Jim McDonald for more information about that. Registration form is on the website, which you can go to register children as well. And then the women's retreat that is scheduled for October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. Last I heard, still had two slots available. Still do. You can talk to Mari or Marcia. Marcia is probably taking care of Ernie today, so you could talk to Marcia if you would like to get in on that and be a part of it. They always have a great time, and pretty much what happens at the beach stays at the beach. So guys have to fend for yourself. Also, today there is a finance team meeting after the service in 116. That is the conference room. Is that correct? Next week. Okay. So don't y'all worry about that. You'll get to go eat lunch in just a minute. There is a need, if you can spare a few minutes right after the service, some of you guys, to move some chairs on the second floor of fellowship building. You can meet Tim over there. Just got to move a few chairs real quick to get them, you know, into storage. And of course, they're on we'll put them on the dolly racks and do that. So if you could help out with that, that'd be great. And there is a greeters meeting right after church, just for a few minutes, in room 6. That's the first one on the left as you start down the hall. Just basically, Jana will be taking care of that. The greeters meeting. So if you are a greeter or want to be a greeter or have ever been a greeter, we need you. Remember, we talked about the importance of those type things. Right through that door, up the steps. It will be brief because she knows she has to feed me. And anyhow, there's probably a few other things. Hopefully David will catch them. Once again, as a reminder, the gorgeous flowers that you see up here today are in memory, and I also like to say in honor of Miss Frances Young, who was such an outstanding witness to everybody's life. Everybody loved Frances, plain and simple. You did well, man. You did well. She was something else, and I look forward to seeing her once again in the kingdom. In honor and in memory of Miss Frances Young, placed there by her family. Pastor David, come on up. Let us know anything that I have forgotten, and see us off in prayer. Oh, by the way, as he's coming up there, please pray for us. The North Carolina Baptist men, or Baptists on Mission, are on alert right now for this storm that is coming in. Very, very proud of Steve. Steve works with, he's a chaplain, trained chaplain with disaster response is what they're calling it now. Jimmy, really proud of Jimmy. Jimmy and I had been working together on the truck. This past week, they actually assigned Jimmy the new tractor trailer truck. Kurt trained. You were hiding. Kurt trained. He trained in actually went up and did the chaplaincy training as well and responded to Kentucky, wasn't it? They did the Kentucky response. So we don't know what's going to happen. Jimmy has, like I say, he's been assigned a new truck. It's not ready yet. I've got a feeling they're going to hurry that up. Today, I actually got to go to Shelby. I got to take a feeding unit to get the tires changed on it because they feel like response is imminent. So pray for us as we all deploy, but everybody across the board with disaster response is right now on alert.
And that tropical storm's name is Debbie. And so if you have a problem with that, you might want to call the church office and complain. Don't forget, if you're planning, this is your last opportunity to make a reservation to go to Amy's wedding. It's in Martinsville, Virginia. It's easy date to remember is 10-4, okay? October the 4th. See Jimmy today and let him know because you won't be welcome. I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house and worshiping with the family of God. Lord, we thank you for our message we heard today. Lord, we realize that each one of us battles sin every day. We pray that you would give us the wisdom to listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that our lives might be an example to those who see us, that we know you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.